things that I'm toting right now is out of my comfort zone. When I begin to think about stuff, it's always been kind of like, you know, I've never been gifted necessarily, but I've always been willing. And when you're willing, God will say, okay, it's all right. There's some things that I'm going to use you for and I'm going to do with you, but sometimes you got to step out of your comfort zone. And, you know, for me, to put down my white shirt and my tie, and the tie gave away. Sometimes, you know, we just have to step out of a comfort zone. And when we do that, though, God, I'm going to use this, okay? No, this is fine. I just need to, you know, you want that? Okay. I just want to use it this morning because we're just going to sit down and talk today. We're going to look in the book of Haggai. How many of y'all been blessed out of Haggai? You know, it's kind of amazing when I started doing preparation for this and I was going to save the sermon. I recognized that, you know, I've never preached out of Haggai. And I had no sermons in Haggai. And so therefore, all of a sudden, God began to say, look, you know what, I think I can help you out. And maybe sometimes you don't even know how to put something together. but if you put something, this really helps your knees. I don't know if you guys ever been working on the floor. This will save your knees if you're crawling around. But I just in thinking about this message today, I'm going to carry you back to 587 BC and 587, 586. It was a period of time in which the children of Israel, they were really under bad times. They had their leadership turn bad. They had followed. And so from the top to the bottom, God wasn't in the picture. And so God said, okay, guys, is this what you want? This is what you're going to get. And so He let them have it. But He said, now, if you don't do what I command you to do, this is what's going to happen to you. I'm going to send you away to a people that speak a language that you don't understand. You're going to live in a place that you don't want to live, and you're not going to be able to go back home for, well, Jeremiah said later on, for 70 years. Can you imagine just being plucked up from where you live today and say for the next 70 years, some of you, it's going to put you in the grave. I don't think Mr. Walter's going to live another 70 years. I might be wrong. How old are you now? 70, I'd be 140. It's doubtful you're going to make it back, okay? and so therefore, it's kind of, you know, when you think about this, for some of the older characters, that they got to back off. Well, for some of the younger, maybe it was, but that's what happened. They didn't do what God said do, so this is what God did. God sent them away. He sent them into a land where Babylonians, He sent them there and He said, in Jeremiah the prophet said, okay guys, y'all settle down. This is just settle down, plant your vineyards, build your little houses, because this is where you're going to be for a period of time. That's exactly what they did. So for 70 years. But then at the end of that 70 years, God said, okay, it's time now to go back. Go back to my house. I got something for you to do at my house. See, my house is in ruins. My house, the foundation's gone. My house, the walls are torn down, are gone. It's time now for you to go worship at my house. Well, you can imagine, after you lived in a country for 70 years, you probably picked up a little bit of the language. You picked up a little bit of the personality. In fact, you lived there long enough that you began to enjoy where you were living. You had it all together. Why do I want to go back to a city that's in ruins? Why? Well, the book of Haggai is about these people going back. So we're going to tell the story this morning. And as we begin to tell the story this morning, we're going to look at it and see several observations. So you can follow with me if you like in the book of Haggai. And you say, why? Why are you here today? Because, you know, there's some things that I can use, but it's very uncomfortable to me. I mean, I can't cut a straight line, but I'm going to try. In fact, we're wanting to build a screen porch on the back of my house, and I've been talking to Arnie. I said, Arnie, what about this twisted thing? And he tells me how to do it, and I have to process it and process it and process it. And so one of these days, I might get enough guts to do it, because, see, some areas, I'm uncomfortable. I mean, I'm comfortable going into my computer and getting ready for Sunday morning. So I'm very comfortable in getting ready for the message. But it's changed lives that we're talking about. When you're talking about changing lives, sometimes you do things you don't really know how. Well, you just try your best. Comfort zone. Hey, guy. Verse 1. It says, in the second year, King Darius, in the sixth month, on the first day of the month, the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, saying, thus speaks the Lord of hosts, saying, this people says, the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Now, capture that, okay? You with me? You've been in there 70 years. You put down your roots. You put down your vineyards, your crops. You work the land. Now you're providing for your family. At least things are coming together. And when you're in your comfort zone, you don't want to rock the boat, do you? Do you want to rock the boat? If somebody says, okay, now you're going to have to really do something different, you got to pull up and leave, rock the boat. Who wants to go? I don't know about their school system. I don't know about their football team. I'm not going to speak about football teams, but I am smiling today. You know, and I don't know about this kind of stuff. You know, I don't know about this. Why do I want to rock the boat? I got it all together. My kids live around me. I got a good job. Why do I want to rock the boat and pull up and leave? Well, do you? Would you want to move to a... Now, some of you have done this. Some of you who have been in military, y'all had to pull up every few months. Some of you in different type of jobs. But I can tell you this. Comfort zones, you don't want to change. I love it this morning. I've been listening just to this morning. And in small group, all of a sudden, we walked in. And Arnie sat down here at this end. And Morgan and them, they sat down there at that end. And Arnie said, well, don't you want to sit down here by us? And she says, well, I don't want to move out of my comfort zone. That's what she said, didn't she? In our Sunday school class. So she said, to the end of the table, I love it. Right, she didn't know she was going to be an illustration, but she is. Why are you sitting where you sit right now? Do you always sit there? 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 Boy, what happens if I were to tell you, okay, I want you to come sit down here on the front row. You'd say, we don't rock the boat, do we? Well, sometimes things begin to happen. The people said, it's not time. The people said, I'm comfortable. The crowd says, don't rock the boat. 12, verse 3. Then Haggai, the word of the Lord came by Haggai, the prophet, saying, is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses and this temple lie in ruins? You know what? When I begin to think about that, you know, my house, I love it. I really do. There's some little bit of rotten stuff over here, and over here there's water leaked in. And but you know what? My wife and I, we are just as happy as we can be. We're there, and all of a sudden I kind of think about trying to change something, and I, every now and then I throw a little piece of bread out there. I say, hey, honey, you want to move to so-and-so? I'm happy where I am. Because you see, our comfort zones enjoy personal luxuries, but many times at the expense of stewardship. Don't we like where we live, basically? Aren't you basically happy today? And you're inside of your comfort zone. But the word of the Lord said, why are you living in your luxury places and my house is in ruins? Oh, come off it now, preacher. Okay, go out there to the trailer and see if one of the windows to the door is about to fall out. Y'all notice that? Anybody in the adult trailer, did y'all notice how it's rotted around out there? And we say, well, you know, somebody needs to fix that. But my windows at my home are not rotted around. They're secure. They got some fog in between them because they're double paned. And my wife tried to wash them. And she washed this side, she washed that side, and it still looked dirty because there's a little bit of fog in between. It just, you know, okay. It's 20-something years old. It's all right. And then we Scott and I, and Todd and I, we went over to Dominican, and there wasn't any windows in some of those houses. And the hogs run in and out just like, you know, I mean, it's really kind of different. Hey, sometimes, though, we live in luxury. Folks, there's not a person in this room that does not live in luxury. But he says, now wait a minute. You live in luxury, but what about my house? You see, when God begins to stir you, when God begins to say, now I want you to take a look at something right here. We're living in luxury. Well, look at what happened in verse 5. He says, Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Here you go. You have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but you don't have enough. You drink, but you're not filled with drink. You clothe yourselves, but one is not worn. One who earns wages to put into a bag. It looks like there's holes in the bottom of it. How many of you have more money than you need? If you got more money than you need, you can send it my way. Okay? Do you have more money than you need? Or do you need just a little bit more? Are you secured about the future? Are you with health insurance, with the government, with the presidency, and are you secured about all these things? Or do you have just a little bit? Well, you work hard. You really do. And you deserve more. But it seemed like sometimes you have more month at the end of your paycheck. And it seemed like the harder you work, it seemed like the further you get behind, just about the time you get it all put together, you say, man, we got it now. And then the washing machine goes out. And God, buy the washing machine, another washing machine. You see what was happening to these people? They were living in luxury. They had everything that they thought they wanted, but they really were not satisfied. The crops wouldn't grow. Because you see, sometimes people in their comfort zone, they settle for less than the best. Look in verse 5. It says, therefore, now consider the Lord's host. Consider your ways. Do you settle for less than the best? Oh, we're happy we got all we need. But wait a minute. Proper priorities begin to focus right here. Comfort zones must seriously be considered. Verse 7 says, this is what the Lord Almighty says. Consider how things are really going for you. I mean, when you really get down to it, how happy are you? Or what's really going on at work? What's really going on at school? What's really going on? Is there some things that are missing out? Well, maybe they are. Look at the comfort zones are escape from the glory of God. When you get out of this comfort zone, you can escape for the glory of God. Verse 8 says, now go up to the hills and bring down the timber and build my house. Then I will pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. Proper priorities. Let's get it straight. Let's take care of God first. And if we take care of God and God's business and God's kingdom first, then guess what's going to happen in your house? Hey, guess what's going to happen to your bank account? Guess what's going to happen to your health? Guess what's going to happen to your car? It's going to last longer. It will. It will. If we get our priorities right. Because here's the poor priorities. This is what happens. You hope for rich harvests, but they are poor. And when you brought out your harvest home, I blew it away. Why? Because my house lies in ruin, says the Lord. While you're all busy building your fine houses, this is what heaven has withheld. This is why heaven has withheld the dew in the earth, has withheld crops. I've called for a drought on your fields and hills. A drought wither the grain and grapes and olives and the crops. A drought to starve you, both you and your cattle, to ruin everything you have worked so hard to get. And folks, if you don't think poor priorities, that stuff can be taken away from you just like that, you need to think again. Because all of a sudden, if you think again, all of a sudden, it might be one of those little wire nuts that you had in your house, and everything seemed like it was so good, but one little wire nut came off. Touched the wrong place. Smoke started up. All your memories, all your pictures, all your memorabilia, gone. God, something so simple. Because you see, when your priorities are not right, you know what you've been doing. God says, I'm going to work against you. Ha! What? God's going to work against me? That's right. If you're not focused in on kingdom first, putting God first, then He says, what you do have, I'm coming after it. That's what He did right here. So He said, everything that you worked so hard to get, I'm going to work against. Now, if you get your priorities right, build my house first, put the kingdom of God first, then I'm going to bless you. But if you don't, this is what I'm going to do. Well, read that. Are you making that up? No, you read that with verse 7 through 8 and 9. Verse 10, I'm going to pick it up there for emphasis. Therefore, the heavens above you withhold their dew. The earth withholds its fruit. God says, I'm going to shut heaven down. You want the blessings? You work hard. That's what they tell you in America. You can have anything you want. All you got to do is work hard. And you got to work hard. And you got to work harder. And you can get the American dream. And you can get it all. And God says, watch this. And He shuts heaven. And all of a sudden, no matter how hard you work, you just don't get it. You just don't grow. Kind of like our muscadine vine. It's been there now for about 3 or 4 years. And on our muscadine vine, we got about a cup of muscadines. I almost feel like God has said, okay, big boy, watch this. You know what? And the neighbor's muscadine wine is full. And my muscadine wine has a cup full. What's wrong? Could it be just an illustration? Or maybe I hadn't taken care of the vine right. But what God says right here, observation, people in their comfort zone, they want to say, I don't want to rock the boat, they live in their luxury, and so therefore, hey, look, I'm happy, I'll settle for less than the best. I don't want to escape, but if I want to, I can really escape it for the glory of God. Well, obedience to God's call comes in verse 12. He says, then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the son of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent them, and the people feared the presence of the Lord. What did he do? All of a sudden, these guys started listening. And when they started listening, man, God started bringing some neat stuff together. He really did. He really did. Because what happened? Discovering the blessings of God begins with the Word of God. And all of a sudden, God got the preacher fired up. And when God got the preacher fired up, he started preaching the Word. And when he started preaching, but you know what else? God got the governor fired up. God got the leadership of the church fired up. God got him so fired up that he had the governor, he had the priest, he had the preacher, because all of a sudden these guys discovered God's word is real. Determination. Boy, when they heard about that, they learned something special here. Let me continue to read. Then in verse 13, he says, I'll back it up. As the latter part of verse 12 says, as the Lord their God had sent him, and the presence feared the and the people feared the presence of the Lord. You know what? I kind of have a suspicion that a lot of us are kind of out of our comfort zone. And we need to have the right tools. If you got the right tools, Scott, does it make life easier? But if you don't have the right tools, you're in trouble. You really do. And so when we get the right tools in place and you get the right bits, you know what's going to happen? All of a sudden, you're going to start looking at God differently. You really will. Right now, sometimes we struggle to worship God. We struggle to praise God. We struggle to read the Bible. We struggle to pray. We struggle. Why? Because I think sometimes we don't have the right tools. And one of the right tools is to fear God. When the people got a healthy dose of fearing God, all of a sudden their prayer life changed. When people got a healthy dose of realizing, you know what? It's really not about me living in comfort. It's really not about me praying to God, God bless me, Ma, us, the two kids, us four, no more. You know, it's really not about us. It's really about being blessing to other people. When we do that, all of a sudden God begins to put the right tools in our hands. And when He puts the right tools in our hands, all of a sudden He begins to tell us that when we get a word from God, the thing is going to happen. He's going to lead us to worship. Look in verse 13. Then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, spoke the Lord's message. The messenger spoke the message. And the people said, I am with you, says the Lord. Boy, when he all of a sudden worship takes place, because now this determination to obey God leads to sincere worship. And the presence of the Lord, look in verse 14. So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, and the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and they worked on the house of the Lord their God. They got stirred up. Woo! I get a little bit like that sometimes. I want to get stirred up for God. And you know what kind of just rings my bell and just stirs me to no end? It's just when I begin to think about, hey God, right here in this community, I'm talking about where Brother Tony lives, right over here. Do y'all know what's needed over there? Anybody? The presence of the Lord? Absolutely. Do you know what else is needed over there? Guess what? I don't either. I don't. Right here in the shadow of the church, I don't know what's needed. I can tell you what my house needs. I can tell you how comfortable I am. But what happens if this church right here says, okay, we're going to adopt this community. Just this community, not the world. We're going to do world missions too. But we're going to adopt this community. You know what? Two things I know that you'll find. One thing, I know you're going to find a lady whose name is Kim. And the other day when we were out passing out flowers, that her husband was flat on the ground. Because he had slid out of the car seat and she couldn't get him up. And Kim said, you remember, I came to church And they did. Y'all remember in the trailers, y'all remember a guy coming here in a wheelchair? And his wife, Kim, and you know why he's like that? It's because he was playing, Brother Tony said, he was playing pro football. And he received an injury. And now he's living like that. And I wonder, who mows their grass? I wonder, who trims their hedges? I wonder, who picks up the paper that some unbeknowing person, I wanted to say idiot, but I didn't, okay? But some unbeknowing person just threw out their Coke cans in their front yard. Who does that? I just wonder, how many people are right here in this community? Now, we can stay in our luxurious place. We got air conditioning here. And we can stay happy. And we can do our little minor arrangement. Or we can get out of this church and take care of the community. Now, I don't know about you guys. I see a lot of empty chairs right here. And you know what? In my heart, if we'll just plant our life right here in the shadow of the church. You can say, oh, this and this and this goes to that church and that church. That's good. What do they need? Well, this and goes to that church. That this is not going anywhere. What do they need? Well, this and used to go to church. What do they need? Well, let's find out. Let's find out. God says we're talking about kingdom work. And sometimes we got to get out of our comfort zone. And when we get out of our comfort zone, God's ready to do some business. Okay? In fact, that's as far as we need to go today. I know you got some more notes there, but we're not going to go there today. We're not going to talk about the first fruits. First fruits is one thing that gets people out of their comfort zone. Because the first fruits is an indicator of your life. The first fruits is the tenth. The first fruits show that you're going to worship God. The first fruit says, I'm going to be a good steward of God. That's what the first fruits are going to say. But you know what? God is telling us, you're going to be a good steward of what I've given you. It's time now to leave your houses of luxury and to get your hands dirty. What do I know? I know that the neighbors right here on the backside of this lot here has called me and asked me and come to the office where I work, said, would y'all please cut down the hedges that are growing off your land because they're just covered. And with my daughter and son and they got the two kids there, would y'all please come over there and cut your bushes down? Well, will that get anybody into the kingdom of God? Maybe not. Maybe not. But if we do what's right for the kingdom, if we're a blessing to somebody, does it matter? Let's be a blessing. And let's let the Holy Spirit do His work in that community. I don't know about you guys. I'm for one that says, get out of your comfort zone. Take your white shirt off. Take your tie off. Take your best slacks that you've been wearing. Put on your blue jeans. Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's pray. Father, a lot of us are living in the comfort zone. I'm included. Lord, I'm number one. But God, today, I'm asking you, Lord, to help us to build the temple right here in this community. And God, don't let us rest until we find out what the needs are in this community and do something about it. And Lord, I know that's going to take us away from doing some things we want to do. I know that I'm used to living in luxury. I know that luxury is in the eyes of the beholder, but Father, I pray for the church. I pray that there'll be boys that'll rise up in this group right here and say, I'm going to make a difference in that community. I pray that there'll be some women who will rise up and say, I don't know who Kim is, but I'm going to find her and I'm going to find out what Kim needs. Father, you're worth it. You're worth it, Lord. God, get us out of our comfort zone. I know that's pretty dangerous words, because you told Elijah, and Elijah said, okay, it's not going to rain for 3 years. I'll get you out of your comfort zone. And God, you shut down heaven. I'll get you out of your comfort zone. And God, we work harder, but we don't get ahead. I'll get you out of your comfort zone. And your pocketbook, it's like it's got holes in the bottom of it. I'll get you out of your comfort zone. Okay, God, we want to refocus. We want to refocus. Right now, God, we want to refocus. It's time, Lord. People say, no, it's not time to do that. And God says, it's time. It's time. Fire up the leaders in this church. Fire them up, Lord. Those who are in charge in this church, fire them up, God. Holy Spirit, just turn the heat up. Sunday school teachers, small group leaders, music leaders, deacons, fire them up, Lord. So much that we can't stand it unless we're out there in the field building the temple. We know, God, we are the temple of the Lord Jesus Christ. If we're going to build the temple of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's going to be building people. God, today starts new. God, get us out of our comfort zone. I pray in Jesus' name. Invitation. The invitation is get out of your comfort zone. That's the invitation. How am I going to do that? Right next door. Find out. How do I start? One house at a time. What do? Whatever you find. I can't do much. But I can do something. I can cut down a tree. I can pick up trash. I can cook a meal. I can sit with somebody and let them go to the doctor's office while you sit with somebody that can't leave. I can do something. I can. What does God want you to do? I think today He wants you to do number one, commit yourself to come out of your comfort zone. That's it. If you want to make it public, I'll shake your hand. You want to take it straight to the throne? The prayer altars are open. You want to be saved? God wants you saved. But one thing I do know. People say it's not time. God says today is the day of salvation. Harvest is past. Time's split. It's time. Past time. Getting close to the end. Well, we got time, let's do it. Let's stand together as people make decisions.